From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, November 21st. I'm Abby Larico. Devin Allman met his father, rock legend Greg Allman, for the first time as a teenager outside the Fabulous Fox. Now he leads a tribute band with another son of a late Allman Brothers founder.
We would just love to be on the side of the stage watching his dad do Blue Sky and watching my dad do Melissa. We're literally doing this because they can't.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin has the story of a second generation and second chances. That story is coming up after this news on The Gateway. The minority leader of the Missouri Senate has filed a misconduct complaint against the Missouri Attorney General over a redistricting lawsuit. Senator Doug Beck, an Afton Democrat, filed the complaint, which says Attorney General Catherine Hanaway does not have the right to list the entirety of the General Assembly in the suit without consent from lawmakers. Speaking earlier this month about a letter he sent Hanaway about the issue, Beck said he did not sign on to the lawsuit.
We never had a vote, and we think that quite possibly that's an illegal action by the Attorney General, and we really want some answers on why this happened.
The lawsuit in question is against an attempt to overturn Missouri's new congressional map through a referendum. Beck is requesting the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel open an investigation. The Attorney General's office could not be immediately reached for comment. The state's trial to remove St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office continues today, following some tense moments during day two in court. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz takes us inside the courtroom.
A slew of witnesses filed in and out of the Clitus Cahill Courthouse to testify in the case. That included Sheriff's Office Major Lee Stokes. He said it is difficult to go to work because of the alleged retaliation he's faced under Montgomery. David C. Mason is a sheriff's staff attorney and refuted the claims. Things took a dramatic turn when Stokes pointed at the attorney and said that he was part of the problem. Shortly after, Judge Stephen R. Omer interjected to scold Mason while gesturing towards Montgomery. Quote, "I don't want to hear this banter that has nothing to do with this gentleman over here. If you're trying to represent this man, do so. You're trying to defend yourself." The trial is set to continue today. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis man has been charged with kidnapping and robbery for beating a city corrections officer. Prosecutors filed the charges against 23-year-old Demorian Sims Wednesday. He had been at the City Justice Center downtown since 2024 on a number of criminal cases. Court documents say the attack happened around 6:30 p.m. on November 5th as the officer distributed meal trays. Sims was able to get out of his cell after the door inadvertently opened. Sims then allegedly beat the officer unconscious, prevented the officer from leaving the room, and stole his radio. The officer suffered what a police report calls a possible internal injury. His current condition was not immediately available. Work is officially underway for St. Louis's Tornado Recovery Advisory Committee. The group is made up of 15 community members representing North St. Louis neighborhoods impacted by the May tornado. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, their goal is to help guide city officials in recovery priorities.
Over the next few months, the committee will meet to discuss the community's immediate needs for long-term recovery. This week, members and community leaders touched on winter outreach and community partnership barriers. Pastor Lyndon Bowie suggested coordinating with other providers to ensure services are not duplicated.
We find ourselves kind of being slowed down and trying to get a check into the hands of somebody who really needs a water heater. But we have to make sure they didn't get the same monies from the Red Cross or some other provider.
The committee hopes to partner with hotels and apartments to offer beds to families who lost their homes and are looking for shelter during the winter. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
About 70 former employees of a Metro East factory have received workers' compensation for radiation exposure in what's being called a landmark settlement. The employees worked at a factory that sits in both Venice and Madison. It has ties with the Manhattan Project, when it processed radioactive metals to make atomic bombs. Kevin Ratliff is one of the employees that will get $7,500.
We feel like we've been shot to the moon and paved the way for others who have been suffering from exposures as we have in the workplace.
People in the group have had health issues, including cancer, but those could never be directly tied to the factory, and that left them unable to get government compensation. Ratliff started his workers' comp claim in 2011. While he says he wishes the settlement was more, it's long overdue. Nearly 23,000 people made it to the movies for this year's St. Louis International Film Festival. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports that's a nearly 60% increase in overall attendance from previous years.
The festival's attendance includes around 13,000 members of the public and more than 10,000 students who visited through the nonprofit's Educational Cinema for Students program. The 11-day festival featured 271 films at a dozen regional venues. Each screening drew an average of 45 people. Emmett Williams is the director of festival curation and education at Cinema St. Louis.
Being together in community is a thing that you don't get sitting on the couch by yourself. And when you pair great films with people wanting to watch the films with each other, I think it works.
The boost in SLIF attendance comes as market research indicates moviegoing has stagnated nationwide. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Allman Brothers Band had a 44-year run that landed the group in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The guitar-playing sons of two of its founders are behind the Allman Betts Family Revival, a tribute group that plays the Factory in Chesterfield after Thanksgiving. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the roots of the tribute lie in a family relationship that needed repair.
When he was 15, Devin Allman wrote a short letter to a man he'd never met, rock legend Greg Allman, his father.
I don't know what bug was up my ass that day. It was like, "Dear Greg, I'm your son. I play guitar. I like Ozzy." You know, here's my phone number.
Greg Allman had kept his distance after splitting with his first wife, Devin's mom, Shelley Winters. The other Allman brother, Dwayne, he had just died in a motorcycle crash at 24, and Shelley didn't want to raise Devin on the road. She married a pilot and eventually moved to Lake St. Louis. Devin says his mom spoke well of Greg.
She just basically said, "Someday you're going to meet him. You guys are going to get along great, and be patient, it'll happen."
A week after teenage Devin sent that letter to Greg, his mom called for him from downstairs.
She's got the phone in her hand, and she just looks like she saw a ghost. She goes, "It's your dad."
They talked for hours, and Greg suggested they meet at an Allman Brothers show. So soon enough, Devin stood in the parking lot of the Fabulous Fox Theater and waited for the tour bus to arrive. They had a friendly hang before and after the show. But before saying goodnight,
I said, "Man, I got one question for you." And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, what took so long? 15 years, man?" And he reached in his wallet and he pulled out the letter from 6 months earlier and he unfolded it. He goes, "I was waiting for this."
These days, Devin Allman spends a few weeks every year performing the music of the Allman Brothers Band, alongside Dwayne Betts, son of Allman's co-founder, Dickie. Here's Dwayne singing one of his father's songs with the Allman Betts Family Revival last year in Nashville. Dwayne often wears a cowboy hat on stage, reminding everybody of Dickie, who died last year. Dwayne had played in his father's solo band for 10 years.
Music and family go together. I mean, that's just sacred, you know, playing music with your family. There's times on stage when I look over at Devin and we just feel it. We both know the spirit's there.
After meeting his father at the Fox Theater, Devin Allman finished junior year at Wentzville Holt High. He went on the road with the Allmans for a year, doing odd jobs with the crew. That's when he met Dwayne Betts, who became a part of his extended family. A few years later, playing with bands around St. Louis, Devin toned down any Allman's influence in his music. He had a sense for why his father stayed out of his life so long.
He was scared, man. He was scared to death.
The two built a warm relationship, but 15 years of absence left a mark. A life change at age 27 rearranged Devin's perspective.
I really got to heal those wounds by being a dad. Any anger or sadness that I had was really replaced by a pity. Like, oh, being a father is the best thing in the world. Like, you miss this, man. I felt so horrible for him.
That's a tremendous amount of empathy. I mean, you are the other end of that relationship. You were missing that too.
But yeah. I kind of got it back by being a dad myself. So it filled my cup.
Greg Allman died in 2017. Devin launched the first tribute project a few months later.
How are we doing?
Hi, not bad. How about you?
Good. Good to see you.
This is Franklin.
At 53, Devin now has the long hair and sandy-colored beard of his father. He recently showed me around the home he shares with his wife in St. Charles. The music room is full of memorabilia.
The centerpiece here is Dad's baby grand piano. He wrote some tunes for his final record on this piano. I'm actually practicing some songs for the revival tour on the same piano, so it feels good to connect with Dad.
Nearby is the Allmans' 1996 Grammy Award for a live version of Jessica. And there's a platinum record commemorating 1 million sales of the Allmans' classic album, Brothers and Sisters. And the room is lined with guitars.
These were Dad's two main acoustic guitars. He would play Melissa on the Tobacco Burst and Midnight Rider on the black guitar. I still use them on tour.
Do you happen to use them on those particular songs?
Yep, and Dwayne Betts will play them too. Moments where it's like, wow, I can't believe we get to do this. And I think back to when I didn't even know my dad. I'd be singing Melissa to 3,000 fans in Beacon Theater when I was like the forgotten kid, man.
Oh, will you hide the dead man's ghost?
It's a trip. It's heavy.
Or will he lie beneath the clay? Or will his spirit float away? Lord, I know that he won't stay without Melissa.
We're playing the Beacon Theater, and I'm looking over at Dwayne Betts playing Blue Sky, looking just like his dad. Sometimes it's super sad. I gotta fight tears back, because ultimately, we would just love to be on those chairs on the side of the stage watching his dad do Blue Sky and watching my dad do Melissa. You know, we're literally doing this because they can't.
Dickie Betts was a pillar of the Allmans for 30 years, but he was forced out of the group in 2000 in a split that turned nasty. The Allman Brothers Band rode a late career renaissance until retiring in 2014. There's one founding member now living, drummer and percussionist J-Mo. Greg Allman and Dickie Betts eventually reconciled, Dwayne says.
They made up and, you know, they got on the phone and made peace, but our fathers didn't get to play again together. Yeah, so it felt good to bring the two families back together.
Sitting near a shelf of vinyl records at home, Devin remembers one night as a teenager on the road with the Allmans. It was 1989. He was watching the show from side stage, and Dickie Betts pointed right at him mid-song.
And he motioned to me, come here. And I'm like, looking around me like, me? He's like, yeah, come here. Crowd going nuts, three drummers going ba 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 ba. And I'm like, yeah, hey, Dickie, what's up? Look out there, man. He goes, you see that? Someday, that's going to be you and Dwayne's crowd.
Thanks for a great night, Nashville. What an honor to celebrate these songs with you. Thank you very much.
Devin and Dwayne also lead the Allman Betts Band, and they focus on the group's two albums of original songs. But they do break out a few Allman Brothers tunes, because it's all in the family. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rob Edwards edited that piece.
Wake up, my girl, turn your lamp down low.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. But this is Allman Betts Family Revival with Statesboro Blues. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.